So you have this cross-pollinization, so to speak, forced cross-pollinization under the worst of circumstances of Ashkenazic Jewry and Sephardic Jewry, and of differing customs. You will find, therefore, in Padua and in other Italian communities that there are hybrid minhagim, there are hybrid customs, both Ashkenaz and Sephard mixed together. And that, again, was because of the fact that these Jews came there, and they had an influence on them. As has been pointed out before, the Ashkenazim, for some reason or other, it's not that they felt superior, but they always felt that their customs were right, were correct, and that the Sephardic customs were somehow incorrect. And therefore, the Sephardim begrudgingly had to admit some Ashkenazic customs into their communities with the advent of these Jews. In 1649, under the prodding of the church, Khmelnytsky announced that those Jews who were willing to convert would be spared and put under the protection of the Cossacks. Now, here we see a difference between Ashkenazic Jewry in Eastern Europe and the story that we discussed at length of Spanish Jewry and of the Muranos. There, with the story of the Muranos, almost 50% of the Jews converted for basically economic and social reasons, for reasons of comfort. Here, with actual life and death hanging in the balance, there were less than 300 Jews in all of Poland and Lithuania who took up the offer. And this poor turnout did not encourage Khmelnytsky to pursue it further. Some of the 300 were people that the church rejected for being feeble-minded, which, if it would not be so tragic, would be hilarious, since that's probably the main requirement. When the rebellion ended, it was such a shameful thing. When the rebellion ended in 1653 and Khmelnytsky was dead and the Poles went back into power, the King of Poland issued an edict that all the descendants of the Jews who converted, those few hundred Jews who converted, could go back to Judaism without any penalty. And again, over 90% of them did. So from the whole turnout, you know, he had a very poor minion. However, what happened here was that the rejection of his offer only enraged Khmelnytsky further. And by that, he just turned loose the mobs and the masses, and thousands and thousands of Jews went to their death. It is interesting to note that the same accusation, I mean, I think that that's why it's so important to know about this time, because to a certain extent it is, the Holocaust is a replay of it. These Jews went to their death passively. They did not organize resistance movements. They did not take their enemies with them. In Rabbi Nathan Hanover's book, he describes the massacre at Polonia in late July 1648 as follows. Some 10,000 people perished by the most terrible deaths the world has ever witnessed. They stretched out their necks to be slaughtered. A single Ukrainian invading a dwelling which housed several hundred Jews would kill all of them and would meet no resistance. So we, in our macho, Rambo type of psychology, say, well, how could that happen? Why didn't they? There is no answer to that.